In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. With so many people traveling this weekend, it's good to see so many of you here as we worship together. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle. Pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Please do let us know if you want us to be in touch with you by email for our weekly Providence publicist, or nearly weekly Providence publicist, which sometimes has all of the information you need to know on Sunday morning. Sometimes. Please plan to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary this morning, where you will find Lee Vanderbon with the lemon and clementine tree starts for to benefit Chisefu. You'll find more information about that in the bulletin this morning. You'll also find on that table a basket for cards for Danielle and Gordon, who will be married this Wednesday. You're welcome to sign the card, or if you brought a card for them, please feel free to add it to the basket this morning, and keep them in prayer as Danielle graduates today and gets married on Wednesday. I think she moves on Tuesday. And we ask your prayers for them as well. Today, after worship, immediately after worship, all of the youth who are going to be going over to the orientation meeting for the mission trip, please plan to congregate in this little side area. If you want some snacks, get some snacks and come. But we're going to carpool pretty quickly after worship to be over there for the 11:45 meeting to hear more about the mission trip. If for some reason you are a youth who is interested in the mission trip and is not able to go to that meeting, please let me know that, we will be in touch with you on the details that we learn with regard to that July effort to join with Central Congregational Church. This Tuesday is the last in our series of this Inquirer's New Members class, and we will be discussing the meaning of membership and actually how one joins Providence Presbyterian Church. And you are more than welcome to come if you've been part of that series, and if you are interested in learning more or just seeing that piece of it, you're also welcome to that as well. Next Saturday morning, 9 to noon, new officer training will take place. Continuing elders and deacons are always welcome at those training events, but new officers are required to be there. Please do take note that in 2 weeks' time, we will have our Pentecost Youth and Confirmation Sunday worship service, and all of our youth who've been part of the confirmation class will take part in leading worship that Sunday, as well as the confirmation liturgy and baptismal liturgy that we will be celebrating that day. Are there any other announcements this morning? There are a lot of things happening this time of year. Yes, Dylan.
I'm raising money this summer to go to a Young Life camp, and I'm trying to get sponsors for a car wash. So if anyone is interested in making a donation, I have forms after church.
Let us join together in the responsive call to worship. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. The glory of God's name. God, how awesome are your deeds. All the earth worships you. We sing praises to you. Come and see what God has done. God does awesome deeds among mortals. Bless our God, O peoples. We come to worship and praise our glorious God.
Thank you.
The gift of grace is God's alone. In confidence, then, let us open our hearts to God, who hears our prayers and invites our confessions, first in silence, then praying together as it is written in the bulletin. Together we pray. Keeper of heaven and earth, guardian of our coming and going, of our times of tender reflection and our moments of turmoil, our life is fragile. We violate each other in personal relationships, as nations, as inept keepers of life's beauty. Sharpen our sensitivities for solidarity and community over alienation. Deepen for us the meaning of resurrection so that we not only speak words of transformation, but embody those words in our life. We offer our thanks and praise, knowing that in your great love, you forgive us. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession, remaining seated as we sing together verse 2 of How Blessed Are Those. The mercies of our Lord are from everlasting to everlasting. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
time in our service when we share our joys and concerns. If Nicholas would take the mic.
No joy today.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter.
Last school year, the prayer chain had my grandson on it, praying that he would graduate, and he missed graduating by one credit. So even though he had turned 18 in January, he went back and did the entire school year, and at 19 and a half, we just found out that he is graduating from high school. And he has plans to go on to CCRI. So thank you, everyone, for your prayers for Sebastian Joel Atrezik.
Please continue your prayers for my mother-in-law. Her name is Camila. Thank you.
I'll ask for prayers for the Yusuf family, Florence's husband, the older brother that lives in Connecticut. His son passed away last Thursday. He was only 19 in college, and he's been buried. So prayers for them. He's been battling sickle cell anemia since childhood, and he was being, prepped for surgery. And it just was so unbearable that he just succumbed to everything. So prayers for them. The Yusuf family, yeah.
Thank you for all your prayers this week. It's been a nice, relaxing week with Chris sitting on me, trying to keep me from doing anything. So, but no, I'm doing well.
Thank God for bringing me all the way from Africa for Zachary graduation. He graduated from Columbia Law on Thursday. Also, thank God for worshiping with you all today.
I would need prayers for my friend. One mother died the last time her daughter died. So next week we'll bury her.
What's the name?
Genevieve.
I have a joy. Today is my mother's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, this is, my name is Dylan. This is actually my last Sunday here. Me and my wife got job offers closer to home, so it's really bittersweet saying goodbye to Providence, but we're looking forward to being closer to family. We're actually moving next Friday, so I'm going to need some prayers for driving the U-Haul a total of 24 hours to Kansas City.
Nobody this side.
Joy, Michael Duff turned 12 yesterday. The boys are all off on Eagle projects today. And prayers, I think, for the young kids who are doing mission work, both through church, through Boy Scouting, and through other activities, please.
Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I hope everyone remembers our children were in the armed services. I never really thought a lot about that until my own son is in the Navy, but it gives me a new respect for people who have devoted their lives to that kind of service.
Let us pray. We turn to you, O God, creator of the universe, redeemer of the world, Spirit-empowering new life. We turn to you in prayer in these days, lifting heart and voice in the needs of our own lives, our community, and our world. We pray for places in our world that are undergoing elections for new leadership these days throughout our world, for Egypt tomorrow, for countries yearning for peace and justice, for the work of your people to bring life to all your people. We remember this weekend the horrors and the sacrifices of war, and those who have been lost in the midst of it. For those who have fought for the best of ideals, we remember this day and this weekend all your children in the armed services. We grieve, O Lord, for those who grieve, for the Yusuf family in the loss of their son, for Genevieve and her family. We grieve for Tom Evans, youth group member, and his father who were killed in an auto accident on Friday. Lord, you are the God in the midst of all times and places of life, in the midst of times of change, of graduation and moving, of new jobs and hope, of hopes for new jobs. You are ever there. We pray for our graduates today in this season, for our Brown students who graduate this day, for the gift of their lives and the future you have for them, for their presence with us in this community. As our students and teachers finish up this year, give them clear vision and focus now and into a productive summer. We pray for Danielle and Gordon to be married on Wednesday, and we give thanks for Zach's travel here to participate in Zachary's graduation from law school, and as he searches for a job and to pass the bar exam. We pray, O Lord, for all those who are in the midst of transition in this transition season, transitions which may be welcome or unwelcome. We thank you for Dylan's presence with us for too short a time here and pray for safe travel and resettling back closer to family in this week ahead. We give thanks, O God, for answered prayers in healing for Andrew, for Joelle's graduation and plans for his future, for birthdays for Tammy and Michael, for the call that you have on our lives to serve your world in mission. We give thanks for all these things. We pray, O Lord, for those who are yet in need of healing power and strength for these days, named and unnamed, for Walter, for Elena's mother-in-law, for Melinda. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless and continue the work of this church, ever seeking to reach outward in witness to your grace and power, for mission efforts with Central and in meeting today, for the pastor you are preparing to come to this community, and the work underway to discern that candidate, for lessons learned and witness shared as we prepare for confirmation for and baptism for so many of our youth, for new officers and members learning and sharing their gifts here, we give thanks. All that we have and all that we are is a gift from you. Let us then be a thankful people, seeking you first, in the peace and the power of the one who taught us to pray, who teaches us to continue to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children's message.
Are any of you five? Have some of you been five? Yeah. Well, when my granddaughter was 5 years old, if you can remember back to being five, her mom and dad both had to leave the United States for several weeks during the summer. And she came and stayed with me. Her mom went to school in Japan, and her father went to a country named Slovenia for a couple of weeks. And so my granddaughter came and stayed with me. But she knew when she came to stay with me that her parents were a long, long, long ways away from her. And so we had this little house. You can see my little house here. And every night, we made sure that we lit the candle in this little house. Now, this is going to get hot. So, whoop, that didn't work very well, did it? That's what matches do sometimes. Don't you just hate it? Okay. So we would take this little house and light the candle, and we would put the roof back on, and there would be light. And we would remember every time we lit this candle, hopefully it's not going to go out, right? We would look through the windows and we would see the light and we would remember her mom and dad. And we would always remember they were still with her because their love was always, always still being sent all those miles back to where she was staying with me. So she really wasn't without her parents. Their love was still there with her, even though she couldn't see them. And she even had a little bracelet that was just like her mom's, only she had one half of a heart on it, and her mom's bracelet had the other half of the heart on it. And so she knew always that she was connected with her mom. And whenever we lit the little candle in here, we always remembered that she was connected with her mom and dad. And this was also like having a little light on, having a night light on. And sometimes when my kids were out late at night, be careful because it could get hot. When my kids were out late at night, I would turn the light on so they could see their way in at night at home. And it's like that being always welcome. So we always have a little light on to remind her that her parents would come home. Now if you look around here, you see a candle over here, right? You see three candles, right? Do you know why we light those candles every single Sunday? We have candles. Why? Right, to remember God. Those candles remind us that God is always, always with us. And so this is kind of the same way. When we're trying to remember God is always with us, we have candles at church to remind us that God is always with us. Before Jesus died, he told his disciples that he was going to send somebody special to be with them so they'd always, always know that Jesus is with them. And he sent what's called the Holy Spirit. We can't see the Holy Spirit. But it's just like my granddaughter knew her parents' love was always, always there with her. We always, always know that God's love is with us and that this Holy Spirit that we can't see is always there too. Sometimes we can maybe feel like we're not alone. Have you ever been scared? And maybe you said a prayer and said, God, I'm scared, be with me. I used to get scared and I would hold my Bible real close to me because I would get real scared. And then I'd remember God was with me. God was walking with me when I was walking down that dark street and all scared. Sometimes if there's a big lightning storm, you get scared. You can get scared then too, but you know that lightning storm comes from God too. That's part of God's creation. So we just have to remember when we're scared that we're not alone. That's just like having a friend walking beside us, but we can't necessarily see him. But that it's like having a friend walking right beside us, or even our mom or our dad walking right beside us all the time. Ben? That's right. Just the way you could have an imaginary friend. Exactly.
And sometimes those imaginary friends are very, very real to us, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. My son used to walk around outside with his imaginary friend out in the jungle. They would go out and they would hunt together. And there was no doubt in my mind that he was not out there alone. His friend Rhea was with him. He even had a name for his imaginary friend, Rhea. But Rhea was a tiger, not a person. So yeah, it's just like having imaginary friends with us. God is always, always with us. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, that we are never, ever alone and that your love is always, always with us. Every time we see a lighted candle, help us to remember that you are always with us and we're never alone. Amen. Careful.
Godly Play and We Believe are downstairs. The middle school class is upstairs this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sit here with you in this sanctuary, help us to understand the words that we are going to be reading from your holy book. And help us, Lord, to reach out to many in this world with love. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. The first reading is the New Testament lesson, Acts 17, 22 to 31. Now we all know that Acts was written by by Luke, and he was a good historian, and he was telling us the story of Paul's time in Athens, where he was spreading the word of God. And while he was there, the philosophers decided that he really was spreading the word about some foreign god. So they took him in front of Areopagus, which were the group of philosophers, and that's where we're picking up the scripture. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. And from one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God, and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. And while God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The gospel lesson is John 14, 15 to 21. in this scripture, Jesus is trying to, or is, he's not trying, Jesus is comforting his disciples about his, in what we know will be his impending death. Judas, wait a minute, excuse me, isn't this 17? 14. I'll find it, just one second. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, so be with you to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. Our next hymn is Holy Spirit, True Divine.
I have this 30-minute, 35, 40-minute, whatever,
I'm obeying the speed limit, you know how it goes, drive to get over here on Sunday mornings. And I usually reflect about the sermon I'm going to preach as I'm driving over. This morning, God had a little news for me. I was not supposed to preach the sermon I had written. So here I stand before you. Don't really want to do this, but I feel this is what God is asking me to do. So I invite you to sing with me a song that I would like to use as a prayer. It's number 322, I believe, in the hymn book. It's called Spirit of the Living God. Julie said, the text this morning from John is Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. He knows that his death, after a horrible trial, agonizing death, is going to be a very traumatic experience for his disciples. They are accustomed to having him right beside them, teaching them, and telling them basically what they need to do and when. And he's going to leave them. And he knows, even as he is speaking to them at this time, that they are going to be so scared that they'll run away from him. He knows that Peter will betray him by saying, I don't know this man. And yet, Jesus is so filled with love and compassion for these men that he wants to give them reassurance and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Even before they can understand the full reality of what is about to happen, Jesus knows it and is wanting to tell them, you will not be alone. And his choice of words in this passage strikes me. He says, you will not be orphaned. That's a strong word. You will not be orphaned. I can't imagine what it's like to be an orphan. I can't begin to imagine it. But my mother was. And I know that it affected her entire life. She was always filled with insecurity, with the fear that somebody she loved would abandon her. And she would be alone again. She was afraid to love too much or too deeply because if she did, then she could be hurt oh so much. She lived in terror that my father would die before she did. And unfortunately, he did. Jesus understands that fear of losing your guide, losing your security, losing that thing that gives your life meaning and hope and joy and everything that makes it worth living. And Jesus wants his disciples to know, I'm not abandoning you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And it struck me as I was driving here today, I had written this lovely sermon that was all very theological and theoretical, but the real story is that we all face these times when our life is turned totally upside down and everything we knew goes out the window. Sometimes it's by our own choice because we go look for a new job and that means we have to relocate. We're going to have to start all over again, making friends, building a home. And sometimes our jobs are yanked out from underneath us. Everything we knew we had, everything we thought we were going to do is gone. I was going to be a teacher for the rest of my life. I had my house. I knew where I was going to be. I had it all figured out. I could shut off half the house. I could live on the main floor. There was a place for a ramp when I got too old and too crippled to walk up and down the steps. I had it all figured out. I was going to have that teacher's retirement. I was set. And then my teaching position was cut. And I was too experienced and too educated. No school wanted to hire me because it would cost them too much money. It didn't matter if I was a good teacher or not. Nobody wanted me. So there I was, 40-something, wondering what in the heck I was going to do with the rest of my life. It was an amazing experience for me. I wasn't terribly gifted spiritually, although I did go to church. I wasn't on my knees praying about all of this. But somehow or another, I knew the entire time I was unemployed, which was over a year, that I was not alone. It was something I couldn't put my hands on, and I still can't explain it. But I did not doubt, I did not fear, I knew there was something that God wanted me to do and I would be okay. And this was in the face of the fact that I had two sons in college, or one in a high school, senior in high school, getting ready to go to college, and one already in college. But God was with me. A lot of you have had times like that. When you thought everything was set to go, and it just went out the window. But God does not abandon us, even when it feels like the rest of the world has abandoned us. Ministers come and ministers go, unfortunately. You put all your eggs in one basket and you think, wow, we got this great minister, we love him. Church is growing, everything looks great. They leave. They just leave. I would like to believe that they leave because they feel God calling them to someplace else. And they're sticking their necks out and taking a risk and saying, okay, God, you want me to go there? I don't quite get it, but all right. I'll go to this new church. I'll start all over again. My family will pull up their roots. They'll start all over again with me. We'll pick up and we'll move. So it's not done without a lot of forethought
and without some intervention from God. And in the meantime, the congregation is left in transition. And more transition. And you begin to wonder, will this ever end? But God has not abandoned you. God is still here in this place with you, going on this journey. And this is a journey that's going to take you places you've never dreamed of before. Because that Holy Spirit picks us up, jerks us around, whether we like it or not, and sometimes turns us in 360-degree circles till we can't see straight and sets us off in a whole new direction. It's not where we might have chosen to go, but you know what? God did. God saw the potential in each of us here, and then God says, ah, I got an idea. This group can do great things for me, and I'm going to have them do it. Might take some work on my part to get him to go that direction. But by gum, we can do it. We can do it together. And so in this time of transition, it's more important than ever that you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that's something Presbyterians don't talk about a whole lot. When I was a kid growing up in the mountains, we had revivals. Any of you ever go to revivals? And you had altar calls. I answered an altar call so full of what I believed to be the Spirit. And I came back to the pew and my mother leaned over and says, we don't do that kind of stuff. Talk about the frozen chosen. And so it's not something Presbyterians are necessarily comfortable with, but by golly, that Holy Spirit's there whether we like it or not. And by gum, when that Holy Spirit comes along and goes, we better listen. We gotta listen. And that's what that PNC is striving so hard to do right now. They've got this pile of dossiers, and they're going to get more piles of dossiers, and they're going to read through them, and it's not going to be an intellectual pursuit at all. They'll try to make it intellectual. They'll have their checklists. But when it comes right down to it, they're going to have to rely a whole lot on that thing called the Holy Spirit. And when they do that, and when the ministers on the other end of the dossiers does the same thing, amazing, wonderful things can happen. And that whole thing is called a call. This congregation is seeking to call someone, and someone out there is looking for a congregation who will call them. And in the middle of all of that is God's almighty hand reaching down to touch various pastors saying, throw your dossier their direction. Go on, go on. And then there's the PNC at this end reading through these dossiers, getting bleary-eyed late at night. And then they'll decide who they want to listen to on their sermon tapes. And they'll listen to those, and pretty soon they're all going to go, oh. And they're just starting. And there will be one person who speaks to their very soul And it won't be just one or two of them that go, yeah, I kind of like this one. It'll be the whole PNC that's going to go, yeah. Ah, yeah. Think we've found the right one. We have not been abandoned. We are not orphans. Because God sends the Holy Spirit in this particular passage called the Advocate, which sounds very official. But the Advocate is the Comforter, is another way of translating it. And outside our little bit of a pericope, it calls this Comforter, this Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And it's just not committees and not just ministers who feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. The possibility of feeling that Holy Spirit is open to every last one of you. It's not just in moments of fear and transition. God can be there in those moments of joy as well. I stood on a mountaintop in eastern Kentucky one day. This was before I was even very religious. If I am now, I'm not sure. I was standing there on that mountaintop, and if you've been down in the mountains, you know exactly what I mean. I know John's been down there. The fog covers the bottoms. So you're standing up on the mountain, and when you woke up this morning, you were down there in the fog. And you drive up or hike up to the mountaintop, and you look out, and you can see all of the mountain. You can see the sunshine above you, and you look down below you, and it's just one big swamp of fog. And then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, those clouds go, whoosh, the fog is riz. The fog actually rises in one fell swoop in a most breathtaking action that you can ever imagine. And you know without a doubt, even if you're not religious, God is. God surely is in this place. And there have to be moments, maybe not that dramatic, but moments like that are possible in every single person's life because this Holy Spirit is an equal opportunity spirit. You don't have to be holy. You just have to be human. You don't have to be a hero. You just have to know how to listen. And that Holy Spirit will be there. Maybe it's just a whisper. Maybe it's just a sense that, yeah, there's somebody here. Can't see him. A feeling of peace in the middle of chaos. Feeling all stressed out before an exam and all of a sudden, there's that peace. In the middle of a chaotic airport when you're not sure whether you're going to catch your flight or not. Suddenly there's a flight delay. And you make that flight. You're down to the last minute before you have to move out of your house and move to a new place. And boom, the door opens and you have a new place to live. It doesn't say God on it. But if we're sensitive to it, we know that that's the door God is opening for us to go through. So I invite you today, forget your frozen chosen Presbyterians and open yourself to the power of that almighty, wonderful, unpredictable Holy Spirit and may you be filled to overflowing. Now and always. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, truth divine, enter our minds, our hearts. Fill us with your truth that we may know you, feel you, and be confident that you love us and walk with us every single step of our lives. And may we always praise you and love you for your presence. Amen.
Please stand and read with me our affirmation of faith. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles, rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries in the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples of Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people's long silence, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace.
Please be seated. The Lord has given much to us, and with generosity we give back to our Lord and this church.
Thank you.
thank you for these many blessings that you have put before us. And thank you for our people's generosity. And Lord, with the love of the Holy Spirit, we just ask that you help us reach out into the world with love, love, love. And thank you, Lord, for this weekend to honor our soldiers and anyone who is in our military. And thank you, Lord, for being you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
before us today, open to the possibility that the Holy Spirit may tap you on the shoulder, may grab you by the arm, may lift you up and put you down in whole new places you never dreamed to be. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.